Hey, it's Beth here. Okay, it's episode 119. It is July 1st, 2020, and I got to admit I was losing it. I am losing it. I just feel like my whole life is flying by. I'm not getting anywhere, and I did get depressed. So David and I, my Meals on Wheels buddy, we went to the Holy Grail. The place of places. You know, people climb mountains to get to the guru. Anna is in a graveyard buried with her husband. I don't think I've told you about Anna. She was sort of the mother I didn't have. I mean, I had a mother, but my mother didn't really like me, although I guess that was pretty normal for the 50s. Anna, and my mother didn't know anything about Anna. I didn't rub anybody's nose in anything. Anna and I were a separate entity. We were compatible. She was 30 years older than I was, but we clicked. So I just needed to see her. I mean, I'm not usually this way. I've never felt this way before about anything or anybody. I just needed to see her. I mean, I've been to the gravesite, but never needed to be at the gravesite. And David felt that way too. So there we go. And it was calming. We had bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches, which I made because my bacon prowess is beyond belief. I make it in a cast iron skillet. I can keep them. I don't put them in the oven like Ina. It's not right. I don't put them in the microwave. It's not right. You get this super flavor if you just do it in a cast iron skillet over the stove. And if you are willing to take the hits of grease all over your chest. Little tiny red marks. Not really unattractive. So we went out there with a couple of bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches. And he gave me some presents for my birthday. And it was lovely. But the piece of it was being with her. And this Anna. This Anna was, she wasn't ordinary. She had a great sense of humor. She was not mean, ever. If she felt anger, she swallowed it and maybe got depressed or something, but she was really a good, good person. She was born October 29th, 1923, if you can believe it. Her father said her eyes were lovely. And he told everybody that she was his favorite, which Anna didn't want him to do, but he did it. And the way they got this close was because the father, back in the 30s, back in the 23, brought Anna into the world himself. Her mother was really quite elegant. She was coming down the stairs with her overnight case to go to the hospital, and actually spent three nights. It was a piece of luggage. Luggage dropped, and his mother dropped. This was her third baby, and she just fell on the ground. The children had already been picked up by the grandmother. Daddy was the only one there. She said, "Help." And he started screaming, "Help," out the windows. And people thought it was a cat howling. Help! It was him. Anyway, he managed. And he got this baby into the world. Went to the phone. And sunk into a complete shock. Two ambulances had to come. One from the mother and the baby, and one for the father. And he could not stop screaming, "Help!" for 2 days. They had to sedate him. Every time he came out of it, he would scream, "Help!" Just the man lost it. So, 2 days of total sedation. The mom's ready to go home. Dad is still screaming. Finally, they get this man under control, and he has to go home with pills, and he needs to take two a day for 6 months, which he does. God knows what they are. Phenobarbital, I have no idea. This man couldn't even speak. He couldn't go back to work for 3 weeks. He was a wreck. But as they were heading out of the hospital, and they took him home in an ambulance, and the mother went home with the grandmother and the other children in the car. He was still, what did they call it? What did she say? Untrustworthy. God knows what that means. But when he got home, got out of his ambulance and got in the house, and he saw Anna's baby face and those baby eyes, he forgave that baby immediately and fell in love with her. So that was their connection. 2 years later, when Anna's mother, this is the father's words, chose to do it again, the father said, "No, I'm not having it." And he dropped Anna's mother off in the hospital a week early, before the due date. And he said there was absolutely no argument. We're not going to discuss it. Just dropped her off at the curb. She went inside with her luggage and came out with a baby. That's as close as he could get, and that was the last baby. He was done. And he always said that Anna was born under duress. So, that's how she came into the world, and it was not her fault that she excelled at everything. She didn't even really want to. She was an amazing artist, and this famous painter took her on. I was looking at paintings that he had in the Ransom Museum, and then I have one of hers, and it's as good. She could dance, and she could sing. The father moved them to Weatherford when the Depression hit, because they went to go live with the other grandmother, her mother's mother. And he went back into Dallas, lived in a slum, worked two jobs, and brought every single dime home, put it in the mail, gave it to the family. He didn't get to come home for 5 months because Anna's family and her cousins were living off the money he made. So that's just what happened. And she loved it in Weatherford. Loved it. It's very Southern. Texas has, in East Texas, this where you find sweet tea. Everywhere you find sweet tea. And when you order tea in a restaurant, you have to say not sweet tea. You're going to find some Southern manners. And you're going to find some sweet people. And Weatherford is one of these places. So she was talking to us. I mean, David shared, this was David's friend, and David shared his beloved Anna with me. It makes me want to cry. Anyway, we're talking to Anna, and she had this lovely lifelong friend named V.A. Littleton. He hadn't seen her in 40 years. She lived so far away. It was in Weatherton. It was in Weatherford, where actually my plumber lives, Lady Chatterley's plumber, Weatherford is a town of towns. Anyway, this was before Scott moved back there. He was still in Austin. So I wanted to see Weatherford because Scott had told me all about it anyway. So we decided that we would take Anna back to see V.A. Littleton, who she hadn't seen in 40 years, for a little visit, 4.5 hours each way. Quite a day in the car. But it was worth it. And we went to this beautiful garden park on top of Weatherford. It had been a very wealthy person's home. And the two of them sat in one of those ice cream sundae little tiny circle tables with two chairs. The two of them sat there and laughed and giggled. And David and I were just staring at them. We thought it was adorable. These two old people laughing and giggling like that. Guess what? Anna was 66. I mean, now I know. People look at me like that, they have to. Young people just don't get it. You don't really change. You don't feel 66. Like that day, those two, they felt like they were 11. And they looked like they were 11. And I thought that was magical and mysterious, but I do that every day. Too bad nobody understands old people. So I am dedicating the July issue of Home and Bathrobe magazine to her, mostly because it's July 1st and I have to do something, but also because I was so depressed that I couldn't even do anything. And now even at like 6 o'clock, which I'm usually in bed by now, I have energy and I'm doing this for Anna. So I'm dedicating it to her wisdom. One thing she would say, like, you know, all the things I have to go through the magazine for, she would say, she'd tell me to leave my editor at large alone. Leave Diane alone. She's at large. She's missing for a reason. She doesn't want to be here. Anna would tell me, as she told me a million times, follow the bouncing ball. Like those music things where the ball bounces from word to word. You can figure it out, Beth. Like, yeah, I guess that's true, right? Because it is July 1st and, you know, I don't think this magazine is doing very well. Let's just put it that way. So then she'd tell me the table of contents. She'd laugh and she'd tell me that was hogwash, which it is. Then she'd say horoscopes. She can't because she's Presbyterian. I mean, she sang in the choir for 80 years. She can't believe in horoscopes. But she would say to me, you go right ahead. And she would mean it. So, okay, I'm alone on that one. Then we'd have the advice column. Now, this is where Anna would be perfect. I would say, Anna, I'm having a really hard time with the pandemic. I feel like I'm wasting my good years where I can still walk and move around and I'm not sick yet. And now it's even July and I don't even know what happened to June. She would look at me, hand me some orange juice, and she would say, what's time to a hog? That's the kind of thing she used to do. What's time to a hog? It stopped me in my tracks. I'd be done. That's how good she was at advice. She didn't give you advice. She just knocked that whining out of you. That's the best advice anybody could give you. Then I'd ask her, Anna, you know, I'm not Zooming very well, and I'm not seeing my friends, and I'm afraid I'm going to lose them. And she did say this. She said that she had her sewing circle for 60 years. And she said, look, people are just going to get upset. Just set the date and see who comes. I'm like, that's brilliant. Just set the date and see who comes. And if they don't come, they don't want to come. But that doesn't mean they won't come next month. Give people a chance. They're moody. Okay, got to remember that one. Then I would say to her, like in my whiny voice, Anna, don't you think quarantining is unhealthy? Don't you think this is just getting old? Like, we've been at it too long? Like, I know it's rising again and everything, but Anna. And she would say to me, quarantining is not unhealthy. The coronavirus is unhealthy. Be like, yeah, okay. She'd be right. She was always right. She lived through a lot more than I've ever lived through. The depression was one thing. That was her childhood. She lost her dad. I mean, she saw him like 3 days a year for 3 years. And he was exhausted. I mean, he didn't get to play. He was like ashen when he came home. One time he came home sick, but he had to go right back. So, and nobody explained it to her. So she had that. Then she was in college. She went to UT, Plan B or 2 or something. I don't even know what it is, but it's for smart people. And she was having a great time. And then all of a sudden, Pearl Harbor happened. 40% of the student body left the next day to join the war. She became the first acting female president of the student body. And that very day, the most important thing to her was to set up letters for every single boy that went to war. And there was going to be a letter a week. And they were never going to stop. And they never did. And they made cookies and lemonade and sold it to congressmen to pay for all the stamps and the airmail, which was very, very expensive. She set up a huge operation. And whatever else happened at the school, it was pretty much under control. But these boys needed love, and she sent it to them. She was written up, actually, in the American Statesman in Austin in 1960 as the first, very first modern working mother. Really cute article. Really cute face. And she said that she worked sometimes, just very little. That's always she would say, very little, very little. At UT with Dr. Dobie, who was the biggest thing ever. And then she worked very little with her husband, who had a blueprinting company in town. And she said nothing ever got in the way of her afternoon parade with her children. 5 o'clock, rain or shine, all five of the children put hats on and paraded down the street, playing instruments, corralling dogs, and singing Disney songs every day. And somebody would get the baton, and then somebody else would get the baton. And it had nothing to do with whether you were good or bad. It just had to do with the weather, which is so cool. It wasn't merit-based, which, gosh, I would have loved that. Because if anything was merit-based in my childhood, I didn't get it. The baton was the big thing, and you led the parade down the street. I would love to have seen that. So that was her. And she said she did it to get rid of the EBGBs, other things, and the wigglies before dinner every night. And she said she would make time. And she made the most incredible thing about her, and I don't know how correct she was because I never really talked to her. She made big decisions about people's characters in a minute. She would decide whether they were good or bad. I think 99.9% of the people she ever did this with, she liked. She loved Kit, which made me love Kit more. I mean, it was like, wow, Anna thinks you're amazing. So I do too. Everything about her was a bit like that. She had a summer vacation camp for her grandchildren. This was the period I really knew her. And kids would pop in every day, all day, half a day, lunch, whatever. But she had one special little boy. He was kind of a special little guy, like Christopher Robin, very sensitive guy. And what he wanted to do at camp every day was open and shut the garage door with the garage door opener. So she valued this. And every afternoon, his mom came late. Because I think she was a doctor or something. Every afternoon, she'd set up two lawn chairs and they would sit there for over an hour. And he would raise and lower the garage door. I just think, could you imagine having a grandmother like that? And he never got tired of it. It soothed his soul, is what she said. I think that's when I fell in love with her, when I heard that story. So, what would she think? Because she had some, you know, she was raised in Dallas and she didn't dress up or anything, but I wonder what she would have thought of my bathrobe. All day, every day. But then I remembered that she told her husband she wanted a swimming pool. And she got it. And he said, you're never going to use it. Well, he was completely wrong. And he ate those words every day. She swam all year round in the pool. In the winter, she would wear her mink stole and her bathing suit in the pool and walk around in the shallow end. She was true to her word. She wanted a swimming pool and she was going to use it. So I don't see how anybody who is swimming, who's walking around the shallow end of a pool in a mink stole could say anything about my bathrobe. And I don't even think she would if she could. So she'd always serve me orange juice every time I saw her, and it was the good kind. And there was a good kind, and I still get it if I have company. It's like this, like if orange juice is $2, this is $9. And it's exquisite. You wouldn't want to mess it up with a vodka at all. So we'd sit there and she'd always serve me orange juice. And it really kind of made me feel better, like love or something. It was kind of strange. One time I went to her and she was living in a retirement place. She had a great house, but people were feeling like she got macular degeneration, which is a bad thing. And they were feeling like she'd be better off in a retirement place. I don't know about that. But it was one of those places with meals and you checked in. She was always sneaking out. And that was fun. Always sneaking out. I'd leave the motor running and she'd jump in the car. And we'd just head out. She'd duck. It was great. So maybe it was fun for that reason. One time, and I could go see her anytime, I dropped by her house and I think, you know, it was on the side of the highway. You know, am I overdoing it? Just coming in for like 15 minutes. She said, no. So I would do that. Well, one time I came by and I was really depressed. I didn't even say anything. I walked in. She said, what's wrong? I told her, middle school is wrong. Middle school is just wrong. The homework is wrong. The sleepovers are wrong. The sports are wrong. The teachers are wrong. It's just wrong. She was like, oh, and then I remembered. I did tell her this. This was this very same time. I said, it's the last day of school. It was the last day of school. And there was an epic, silly string war on the campus. Epic. Kids had like 5 cans, 6 cans each in their backpacks. And it went on and on. Well, 20 boys were arrested, sent to the principal's office. Mine was one of them. And they were in trouble. Like real trouble. I thought it was funny. I mean, worse things had happened. But my mistake was that the vice principal heard me laughing. So he took me aside. And he told me how things were changing. And everything was becoming a threat. And a serious, the words were changing. There was nothing like boys will be boys. Or shenanigans. Those words were gone. And they were replaced with words like weaponizing. And threats. Just this horrible situation. So he told me that the silly string was being considered a weapon. And they were all going to get written up. I said, this scares me to death. And he said, it scares you to death. He said, it scares me to death. I don't know what's going to happen next year. I came over to Anna's, I mean, right after this, because I couldn't even get Matt yet. And I just said, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how we're going to make it out of here. If silly string is a weapon, we're doomed. I couldn't even function. Anna listened to me. And she said, what are you really hoping will happen? What are you hoping for? I said, well, I'm hoping that they'll lighten up. I want to go back in time. That's what I'm hoping. She looked at me. And she said, well, you know what, Beth? We've got to change what you're hoping for. I said, tell me how to do that. She said, I want you to hope for something that you can easily have. I was like what? She grabbed both of my hands, smiled at me, and she said, like summer vacation. I just looked at her. She said, you can have that. You can have no school, no teachers, no problems for months on end. She handed me my orange juice and said, take it. I just looked at her. And she said, I would take back every moment in my life and want the things I can have. I just looked at her and she said, Beth, just please want them. Just want them. I thought summer vacation. And I smiled and I said, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to want the things I can have. I can have summer vacation. I can have the phone not ringing. It doesn't light up Westlake. Westlake ISD. Oh my God. I can have a summer off. She said, yes. Take it. Take it. I drank my orange juice. And I went back to the school and I picked him up. And I took my summer vacation. And by the time September came, I was ready for it. So was he. So, 2 days, it's 2 days before Anna died. We were so lucky. It just happened that we were back in the car, going back to Weatherford to see Miss V.A. Littleton again. And I mean, it had been like 2 or 3 years since we'd seen her before. It was just like perfect timing. 4.5 hours there, 4.5 hours back. Big deal. We never shut up. We had the time of our lives. But we get to this. She wants to take us last, all the other times we were in her house for lunch. And she'd create a beautiful lunch. It was really sweet. This time she wanted to take us to a restaurant. And we had a little trouble hearing ourselves. But the restaurant got a little emptier, and now we were going to get home late. But we stayed. And we had a wonderful time. And when it got quiet, V.A. looked at Anna, and she said, I have a confession. And it was no kidding around. Anna just grabbed her hand, and V.A. said, I was always so jealous of you. Everything you did. And Anna just looked at her and said, why? And she said, because you came to school and every single day you wore big, beautiful silk bows in your hair. Anna took this really seriously. And she said to VA, you should have told me. VA just sat there and just looked at her like it was the biggest confession, like she committed murder or something. We stayed. We got a little more tea. We shared his dessert, and VA was kind of deflated. So Anna said to me, can you come to the ladies' room with me? I was like, sure, I can always go to the ladies' room. We went there, and we got to the door. She took me inside and she said, listen, I want to tell you something. I said, what? She said, I just want you to know that VA saved my life. She saved my marriage. What she did, if she hadn't done it, I could have never faced my husband. I said, what happened? She said, well, we went to a restaurant right here in Weatherford. We were visiting with the Littletons. And I drank red wine. She said, I don't know how to drink. And I had so much red wine, I went to the ladies' room in the restaurant and I threw up. VA came to the came into the bathroom. She saw me. I was a mess. She took my blouse off, cleaned up my face, put her cardigan on me, walked me back to the table, and she said, I don't feel well. We had just ordered dinner, Anna said. And her husband was furious. He's like, what do you mean you don't feel well? She said, I've got to go home. I just don't feel well. You guys stay. You enjoy your dinner. Have a good time. Anna's going to drive me home. Her husband was not the sweetest guy in the world, and he was mad, and she was going to pay for it. Anna just followed her to the car, and VA was holding her up. She gets Anna home and puts her in the bathtub because it was quite a mess. She gave her a nice bath. The entire time she was in the bathtub, VA was singing pocket full of miracles, like she was Frank Sinatra. And Anna thought it was funny. Kept her calm, cleaned her up, put her in some of VA's pajamas because they weren't supposed to be sleeping over, and put Anna to bed. And then she jumped in her own bed. And by the time those two got home, there was no waking them up. And Robert spent the night on the couch downstairs in the living room, and this was never discussed. VA said she had her first migraine headache and that Anna saved her life. And that was the story. 40 years ago. I was like, that's amazing. She said, yeah. Beth, you gotta do me a favor. I'm like, sure. What? She said, I need you to go back out there and I need you to tell VA that she looks beautiful in her outfit. I was like, what? She said, Beth, it'll mean the world to her if it comes from you. It will mean the world to her. She'll feel better. She doesn't feel good right now because she had that confession. I was like, okay, you want me to go out there and just tell her she looks good in the outfit? And she said, yeah, don't make a big deal out of it either. Just say it once. Don't go on about the cardigan or whatever else she has on. She'll know. I said, okay, so we go back. Like I'm like on a CIA mission or something. We go back to the table. We sit down. We talk for like 2 or 3 minutes. Tell me if I'm right, Anna. She said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I say, I just look at VA and I go, VA, you look absolutely beautiful in that outfit. She said, yes, do that. Just do that. I was like, okay, okay, I'm going to do it. Well, I performed this bit of mastery brilliantly. And VA felt better. Like she changed. She improved. It was all over. Like Anna knew. And then we started laughing again. And it was fun. And we took VA back to her house. And the whole day was better. It's like Anna knew everything. Absolutely everything. So the thing is, you know, I was there at the gravesite and I was like, what would Anna do right now? She would wish for me to just want what I can have, to hope for what is attainable for me right now. So I'm thinking, what could I do? What could I really have? What could I want that I could have? And my goals are, this chokes me up. Okay, my goals are right now, because it feels a little stressful out there in the world. Sanity and patience. Those are what I can have if I try really hard. So that's what I'm going to do. And I really think that Anna would love Home and Bathrobe magazine. I think she'd think this was wonderful. But I think she would think it was much more wonderful if I just wished for what I could have. So if you liked Anna, take her. Take the orange juice, take her. Take her wisdom. Her wisdom was just reach for what you can grab. That's brilliant. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to try. And I know if I try really hard, I can get sanity and I can get patience right now. And that's what I'm going to do. And I want to thank Anna for everything. And I want to just wish you well, stay calm. It's going to be a little bit longer than we thought, a little bit rougher than we thought. And let's just reach for sanity. Let's just go for it. And I will talk to you later. Just take good care of yourself. Thanks. Bye-bye.